You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 to 8 p.m. on the West Coast. I want to say welcome to everybody. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. And the times are crazy, aren't they? But before we get to that and I tell you about the show, I've got a few announcements to make. First of all, make sure you check us out on our YouTube channel, easily accessible from the homepage of thecommonsenseshow.com. And when you're there, don't forget to subscribe and don't forget to like us. I'm putting up a lot of podcasts these days, and it's really a way for me to try to touch bases on individual topics with sometimes we don't get to on this show, and sometimes I don't have time to write about because of the plethora of subjects there are out there that are challenging us. So I'd encourage you to go up and check out the podcast. And they're usually somewhere between about 6 to 9 minutes long, so they're really efficient. The other thing that I really want to push, and I'm going to begin to push this in a very big way, we need a sense of community, both for the show and for the Patriot community. And it is not on Facebook. It's not on any group on Facebook. Facebook will sponsor Assassinate Donald Trump pages, but they'll ban you for writing about Hillary Clinton and her criminal behavior. Actually, I should say her serial criminal behavior. So I would invite everyone to go to seen.life. That's SEEN.life and register. Now, I've got a page up there, The Common Sense Show. And it's a great place for all of us who are part of this Common Sense Show community to network, share ideas, share articles, give me your guest suggestions, feedback on the show. It's really a place for us to coalesce. So that is seen.life. Now, this show is brought to you this hour by Renaissance Precious Metals. It's Steve Quayle, and Steve Quayle is probably the most low-pressure salesman I've ever met in my life. And if he can't help you and convert your cash and doesn't think you have enough or your situation may not be right, he'll tell you. But I'll tell you right now, folks, if you're leaving your money in the bank, the bulk of your money, you're leaving your money in the bank to be set up and set up to being taken. And I've written numerous articles, and we've done a lot of shows on that here on the Common Sense Show. Give Steve a call tomorrow. Explore the options with him. 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. Let me tell you about the show, because this will blend into one of our sponsors. And we're talking about here in the first hour, we're going to be welcoming Bob Griswold in just a moment. And he's going to talk about a lot of things, but he's got some really fascinating things going on with water. And as I've read about projections about what would happen to us if we're taken down by an EMP, after a few weeks, waterborne illnesses will be one of the leading causes, if not the leading cause of death. So Bob's got a lot on that topic, as well as other things that you're going to need to know to get ready for anything that could be coming our way. And in the second 2 hours, we're going to be joined by Dr. Ted Brower, and we're going to have an extension of what we talked about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And there's so much coming at us, and we've segmented it into 8 topics. Probably the banner, I would say, would be chemtrail flu. There's no question that more and more people are getting sicker and sicker, and it is coming through the chemtrail flu. Steve Quayle and I had that discussion about 6 weeks ago, and Ted and I are going to explore that tonight in the second 2 hours. So join me in welcoming our first guest, Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com, where he really has the best in prepper survival skills. I mean, everything you want, night vision, food, everything you want is right there for the taking. Bob, welcome to the show.
You know, Dave, it's always good to be here. I just came back from, I was down in Atlanta today at a prepper show. Just got to talk to a lot of interesting people and hear a lot of comments. And the comments were almost universal. Something has changed. You know, they say the more things change, the more things remain the same. And I also think of the saying that, you know, of the frog being boiled alive in the water. And I just challenge people today to think about what's going on. Think about what we see going on in this world, in this nation. Think of those things that had been proposed 20 years ago, what the reaction of our country would have been. You know, I was, as I was talking to people this weekend, we were talking about the very glue, the very fabric that holds our country together, the nucleus, you know, our culture, our religion, our language, our borders, the economic system we had. It's all coming unglued at rapid pace. And the thing I want to point out is this, it's so easy to think, well, this is the way it's always been, but it's not. And I think the people who are listening to this program right now realize that I think we're seeing an escalation in a downward depravity, a downward unraveling. Everything about our nation that was once foundational is now wrong and evil. If you believe those things that made our nation what it was great, you're now a bigot, a hater.
Yeah.
You know, you don't love God because God doesn't hate anybody. He doesn't want to have anything to, you know, he doesn't have anything bad to say about anybody. He accepts everybody. And yet we all know he doesn't. And as we see this swimming in the sea of just perversion that our nation is embracing, we have to come to the conclusion, the words of Jesus, be not deceived. That was the great warning he gave for our times, because deception would be great. And we see so many people, anybody that works on any kind of social media at all, that operates on social media at all, that would even dare bring up a moral issue to say that God would have a moral standard concerning this part of our lives. You're again ridiculed as a hater, some kind of phobe, whatever the phobe of the day is. You know, you're vilified. So we see our nation absolutely changing in a dramatic pace right before our eyes. We see all the things that nations that are going through death throes are experiencing. We see them. We see our borders completely eviscerated. We don't have any borders left. We see what is wrong being called right, what right is being called wrong. As you know, we see our economy completely destroyed. We see the health of our nation. People aren't healthy anymore. One in five Americans just on antidepressant drugs. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. So people that are awake, they have to know what to do. Here's the picture I want you to think about. In society, there's a thing in just martial arts. It's a martial arts lesson. Force and counterforce. They're two opposing forces, for lack of a better word. And what you see is, say, like, let's just pick up, like, people say, well, you know, it's going to get like it was in Ferguson. I disagree. Ferguson, or Philadelphia, had a counterforce. They knew that once that group of people that were tearing and burning went so far, there would be a counterforce that came upon them and would actually put it to rest. I mean, once if they started expanding out further and further and further, sooner or later somebody's going to jump on it and say, this is as far as you're going to go. The same thing, like I said, in Ferguson and in Philadelphia. Now, the closest we ever came to where counterforce did not work was Louisiana, New Orleans, during Hurricane Katrina. A lot of people don't know that the U.S. government, through Homeland Security, actually sent Blackwater down there. Blackwater is a for-hire mercenary group of people that went in, that were hired to go down there, and basically to be the counterforce. They came close to losing it there, and that would be more of what would happen if they did. You saw just absolutely burning everything, and it started to spread. There were no services available. People were dying in hospitals. There were just absolute the abuse of women, violence. It all started to come unglued, and that's why the United States government had to secretly get Blackwater down there and put a stop to it. So my question is this, Dave. What happens if it got so bad Blackwater said, I'm not, or somebody like them, I'm not going to go there because I have to stay home and protect my family? What happens in a society?
Agree.
What happens in a society when counterforce is gone? you know, when in martial arts, if there's no, if somebody comes at me and tries to maneuver me in a throw or whatever, and I don't offer counterforce, I'm going to get waylaid pretty bad. I mean, that's
exactly
the whole point, is force and counterforce in martial arts. And I think what we're seeing today is the breakdown of everything that would offer counterforce to anarchy, violence, depravity, and every other human ill that you can name. We are seeing this explosion of it. And at the same time, I'm just looking and seeing, like, the Ring of Fire going on, exploding with these earthquakes. You know, I was on the USGC website this morning, and even the amount of earthquakes that are in central USA has skyrocketed. The amount of them, we see just nature itself almost revolting against what we're doing to this planet, and just, you know, the uncovered blood, the human depravity of what we perpetrate on each other, the violence. It's almost like the earth, as it says, will vomit us out, and I think we're seeing that. So as people see this happening, what do? We can fall into normalcy bias, and Dave, I would say even the most ardent of all preppers I know, the father of modern-day prepping, I would say Steve Quirrell, you mentioned him. We all go through times when we have to say we might struggle with normalcy bias. I do. I've never asked Steve if he had, but I would presume, not to speak for him, but he probably has gone through it, you know. You might have experienced it. And yet, when we look at things the way maybe God looks at them, we see that we have been totally boiled alive and don't even know it. Our food supply is being ravaged. I mean, it is. You know, I've been to supermarkets, and I've been showing my wife recently, as I go to these grocery stores and other stores, look at the blanks in the shelves. Whether you look at the, go to the fresh produce section, and more than once, quite a few times, in fact, I'm noticing you got the lettuce here, a blank, and another vegetable here, a blank, and another vegetable. There's things missing in the shelves. They're not stocked. And I think they're trying to hide the fact that there is a crisis in our food supply. And so I just encourage people, how do you deal with this in a way that we can say, how are we going to be ready for what I believe is mathematical certain that is actually at our doorstep? We have to really talk to each other and encourage each other. Like this program, people can listen to a wide range of people encouraging them in all aspects of life to get ready. Because, Dave, would you agree? Do you think it's at the door?
I think it's more at the door. I think they're inside the door. You said something earlier, and I wanted to respond to that. You talked about when counterforce disappears. We have some stats from Katrina. The police and the first responders walked off their jobs in the first 3 to 5 days.
Blackwater
will have their tolerance too. So if people think that the normal kind of protective mechanisms are going to be there when this stuff begins to visit us. In fact, you're making a good case, Bob. This stuff is already visiting us. In fact, let me take a side turn real quick. I interviewed two gentlemen about 6 weeks ago, and they are experts in the farming industry, and they both said the same thing. They said that 15% of the farmers were quitting the business in the first 6 months of this year, and we're already seeing that happening, and we are going to begin to see serious spot shortages with regard to food supply.
I challenge people, Dave. I'm going to make 2 points here, one about the counterforce, but I'll make the other one first. Go to the supermarket and see if you don't start seeing this. You know, what you normally saw there, are there blanks in the shelves now? It's easy to miss it if you're not looking for it. You're just looking. You go in there with normalcy bias. You go in there, you know, thinking about some TV program or whatever it is, something that the news, I call it the Giggling Blonde Network, you know, said that day. And so you're preoccupied. You go in there and just see, there's lettuce. I just picked the lettuce out. But start to look at the blanks in the shelves. And I've noticed it not only in grocery stores, but I've also noted in home improvement stores. Things that used to be there aren't there. And when it happens, it is happening and going to happen quickly, that when the majority of people wake up and realize it's at the door, bedlam is going to break out. And that's when the counterforce will break down. I mean, you know, no matter what you think of them, if I call, if somebody's doing something wrong, you call the police, you call this, you do that. Even for self-preservation, the government calls out the National Guard just to protect their own jobs. You know, all of those things that would be considered counterforce are there. if all of a sudden, because the police in Katrina knew, well, if I go to work, somebody's going to rape my wife. They're going to abuse my children. They'll steal my food. They'll break into my house. I mean, all of a sudden, self-preservation kicks in, and it doesn't happen. What would normally happens doesn't happen. And with social media today, it can happen at breakneck speed. At, you know, we see whatever happens at the Republican National Convention, and I don't know. I'm not a prognosticator. I'm not going to make any predictions. I do think there'll be violence and some other things. But social media could take a small incident and explode it overnight. Keep in mind, Babylon fell in a night. I mean, you know, that, you know, nobody thought the day before Lot exited Sodom, you know, or the, whatever day it was, you know, the night before Sodom was destroyed, everybody was eating and drinking and having a good time. They didn't realize that tomorrow would be the end of what they knew. Noah, the end of what they knew. Even 9/11, the end of what we knew America was. It's always easy to think, well, that's not going to happen the night before. But when it happens, you look at the panic and terror that breaks out. And I do think the next incident that's going to happen in this country could be multifaceted. It could be both natural and unnatural, supernatural. I mean, you know, you can have all these natural disasters. You can have people panic. You can have, you know, class stress, racial stress, all these different stresses we see that have been introduced to the American people on purpose. I mean, they, powers that be, don't like everybody getting along and playing nice. They want that strife because that serves their purpose. But once that is fanned, I mean, it's just like a wildfire. There's a point in a wildfire or a control burn. You're trying to control burn something that you lose control of it. You think you control the fire, and these people think they can control the fire, but all of a sudden the winds change, and boom, that fire jumps the fire line, and now you've got a real forest fire on your hands. That's the analogy I would use to where we're at in America today. And I'm going to put it in this way. People, I promote food. You know, there's so many vendors that do. So I'm going to say, pick your vendor of choice. Look at, Dave, I live on a working homestead. I heat my house with firewood. This is an analogy I want people to think long and hard about. I can go out with 3 gallons of gasoline and say 4 weekends, just Saturday, you know, work Saturday, Friday, whatever, and work Saturday, and take that 3 gallons of gasoline, drive my truck into my woods. I can saw down a couple big trees. I can take my chainsaws and buck those logs into 2-foot pieces. I can take my log splitter and split them and drive my truck back with a trailer and load that firewood up so I can heat my house for the whole winter. What nobody ever thinks about is this. 1 gallon of gasoline has 31,000 calories in it. You can go online and verify that for yourself. So a gallon of gasoline has 31,000 calories. So it takes 93,000 calories, 93,000 calories. Let that sink in for a minute. 93,000 calories to put that firewood away. And, of course, the gasoline does it much faster than if I was doing it with an axe and an ibuprofen. If you know what I mean? You know, it'd be very painful to do it, to haul it out of the woods by horse or by whatever, carry it, whatever. Do people really have enough food stored away for that type of lifestyle? If the grid goes down, if your lifestyle as you know it is interrupted, we think you won't be doing your little desk job anymore. You're going to find yourself in an environment that much of the world faces, that you are having to etch out your living with physical labor. And that's going to take a lot more food than most people think it will. I mean, here, that's the analogy. 3 gallons of gas does 93,000 calories worth of work. I would shudder to think that I would have to do that 93,000 calories because it would take me all summer long, and that would not leave any room for gardening or anything else. And we'll get to that in a minute because that's the importance of networking. And you've heard me mention this many times on the program. You know, you do not want to try to find your prepper friends once it's happened because you will be infiltrated very quickly. There'll be people with needs. There'll be looking to what they can do. And you might think they're true and sincere, but you need to get to know the people that are going to be with you, that are going to watch your back now. I think we have a window of opportunity to do that. And if we do not do it, when push comes to shove, you're going to hit the panic zone overnight. And this is that's the term I label it. You know, food storage, water filtration, all those things we do, night vision, the ability of self-defense, pushes that panic zone back. The further we can push the panic zone back so that we have time to breathe, time to rationally think, time to evaluate, the better we have a chance of surviving. If your panic zone is 3 days out, you've got a lot to do. You've got a lot of doing in 3 days. Probably you can't do it. And so after that third day, you're going to be desperate. If your panic zone is a month out, a month can go by pretty quickly. You know, if grid went down, they say 2 years just to replace the transformers. So we need to start thinking in terms like that of what we could do. And, you know, you can't do it all with food storage. This is why, again, networking people that can grow food. You know, you grow root crops, carrots, potatoes, corns, things of that nature that have high calories, and people who raise chickens, people who raise eggs. We need to start networking with people now, because that is where your survival will lie. We need to have at least a year's worth of food to get through that first year to where, you know, you can plant a garden and do all those things and get used to doing it. But there won't be any time for anything else, and you better have the food stored away or be able to have the way to produce it to make those calories necessary, because it won't be Anytime Fitness or any other place anymore. It'll be the axe and the hoe, and that's where you're going to be getting your workout, and it takes a lot of calories to do that.
That's amazing. Networking is so important, but how do you network with people who may not even bother to get prepared, and you've just advertised what you've got, and you put a bullseye on your back?
Yeah, you don't. This is where providence comes in. And you know, I'm a Christian person, Dave, and so I have to trust God with certain things in my life, that he brings men and women into my life that I know are of noble character, that I know that if they were alone with my wife or children, they wouldn't seek to do anything funny. That, you know, I do have two friends in my life, Mark and Bob, that if I called and I was not available, they would come and take care of and help my family. They would watch out for my family like they were very own. And that, to me, is something that has taken years to develop. Now, if you don't have that, you need to start. Find those people. Just be honest with them and say, listen, you know, this is what I'm looking. And if they give you that look in their eye like you're crazy, well, that's probably a pretty good indication that you might want to look somewhere else. But I would have a hunch there are people in your life, whether you know them or don't know them right now, that do have this sense of foreboding, and that they might be afraid to say something because, you know, they don't want to be looked at like a loon or something. Because, again, you know, if I told Noah and all the people in Noah's day a week before, hey guys, you know there's a big flood coming, you're all going to drown next week, what would they have said to me? They'd have looked at me and laughed. I mean, I would have been the laughing stock. They didn't have TV back then, but if they had, I'd be in all the late night shows. Look at the loon. You know, that's what they've been saying. So, you know, if you find those people, probably let them go. But I would say there are people out there that most of us have. Most of the people listening to this program are listening because they know something is seriously wrong and that we're out of time. And so I would say just evaluate the people around you and try to make those contacts. You don't have to put all your cards on the table. You know, I call it playing flashcards. Remember that when we used to not have computers, Dave, and you used to hold up the two times two, two times three? We do the philosophical flashcard things also. You just flip something up. If you get the right answer, you flip the next one up. And you can do that with people, and all of a sudden you realize this person is on the same sheet of music I'm on. And so, again, I cannot stress it too much. If you're going to do Rambo, you're going to die. You know, you're going to die. You need people. You need friends and family and whoever else around you. You need those people because, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says every joint supplies. It's like a body. You know, the toe doesn't do what the finger does. The ear doesn't do what the eye does. So we need all those components put together. And I think in that arena, we have a fairly good chance to go through what we're going to go through and see our children perhaps inherit a better world at the end. You know, and so that's what I would recommend to people, and I think that is a sound thinking. You know, I think it's what we need to be doing, and I think you're going to see an unparalleled, not since the Civil War. Civil War is a great example of force, counterforce. After the Civil War and the South lost, what came into the South, there was no law enforcement left, and it was just absolute rape, pillage, and plunder to the people who had lost. That was force, counterforce, where the counterforce had gone away. And, you know, for whatever reason, whatever side you want to take in that, it was pretty depressing for what happened to the people that were conquered. You look what happened after the Iraqi War, another case in point of force, counterforce breaking down. you know, we didn't have enough troops on the ground to secure everything. Well, first of all, they just realized, hey, nobody's stopping me from go looting the museum. I can go rob the bank. I can go rape my neighbor. I can go steal his food. I can go shoot the guy I didn't like last week. And that's what happened. I've mentioned the book many times, the Savage Continent, what happened after, you know, the collapse of the Axis powers. I mean, it was brutal. Brutal beyond words because force counterforce broke down. And so as we see this going to break down, can you and do you have the ability to weather this storm? And again, that it takes evaluation of looking at things. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, and I don't want to come off as an infomercial here right now, but I do want to mention we did come across a really neat product. It's called an appropriate NOAA Trekker. And it's a water filter unlike anything we've seen. And I bought one for my family, and actually not for my family, but for my group, because I had this question posed to me regularly. You know, we all have the in-home water filter where you pour water, you know, a little thing, and you get a couple gallons. This water filtration, it runs on 12 volt. All it is a motor, so it's going to be EMP proof. And it has a sedimentary filter. It has a charcoal filter, so it takes out chemicals. And it uses ultraviolet technology, which kills all microorganisms, including viruses. It comes in a hard Pelican case. You can hook it up to a 12 volt battery. And the neat thing about it is this: it does 60 gallons an hour. I mean, it's a mini water plant. Like a water processing. So you can not only feed your own family or have water for your own family, but just think of the blessing you could be to people if you had one of these and you just pumped it and said, bring your jug over here, and started filling it up. Do you think you could earn a lot of respect, and people, you know, would say, gosh, you know, this guy's got it together. We can get water. And you could do it discreetly. You know, if you really live in a bad neighborhood, just go.
Unit's portable, too. Isn't the unit portable?
Oh, absolutely portable.
It's in a hard Pelican
case, so even if it falls in the water, it's waterproof. It floats. So, I mean, it's to me, I had to have one for my family. And I'll tell you what, Dave, if anybody who purchases it for the Dave Hodges Show, there's a particulate filter and a carbon filter, and how long they last depends on what kind of water you're pumping through it. But if any order from your show, I'll include an extra, those two filters are like $60. So I'll throw those in if anybody orders it. But that I didn't want to sound like an infomercial, so I'll just mention that. To me,
it's captured my imagination.
It's the best water filter I've seen ever. Yeah. In fact, I was going online researching it when I did. There's another one out there that's three times the cost, and it does 1/8 of the water. It does a half a liter a minute versus 1 liter, 1 gallon a minute. So this one does a gallon a minute versus a quarter liter a minute. So quite a bit of difference.
Yeah, I've been reviewing this on your website, and it's captured my imagination, because the fact is, if you have to bug out, a lot of these systems you have for water, they're nice, but if you got to leave, you're in trouble. And you can take this with you, and you can apply the same principles anywhere. You know, I've been reading that, and I've been reading this for a long time, with regard to EMP events and other natural catastrophes, after a couple of weeks, actually about 7 days, the leading cause of death will be waterborne illnesses.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's historic, without a doubt. And again, if I can make 60 gallons of water, now this has to be fresh water, doesn't do salt water, so fresh water supplies, and I always throw the caveat in, it'll filter the absolutely cruddy, cruddy water, but if you have the option, I would put some way, even pour the water through a towel into a bucket and get the larger particulates out. The filter has a little micro screen filter that you can take out and clean, and then it has a 5 micron, synthetic woven web piece of material that it goes through, and then it pumps it through a carbon filter, which takes out the chemicals, and it goes through this UV light that kills everything, and it scrambles the DNA, so even the viruses don't survive it. It was independently laboratory tested, all that. So, to me, I had to have one of these because I just looked at it and I thought, you know, for our group of people, I could disperse water. I mean, you know, if I ran the thing for 6 hours, 6 times 60, that's 360 gallons of water I could give somebody.
Amazing.
That's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know of anything else on the market that does that. So, and I think it's appropriately named too.
Is there an advantage with this unit or a disadvantage versus a portable water filter? If you had to go on the run, Would you need both or one over
well,
the other?
It all depends on how you're going to go on the run. Obviously, if you're stripped down and it's worst case and you're just bugging out with your clothes on your back, a smaller water filter is going to be probably more appropriate because, you're not going to be able to tote everything you need to tote. And it does need a 12-volt source, so you need to plug it. You can plug it into a cigarette lighter on a car or just hook it directly to a 12-volt battery. So it does have that kind of limitation to it, but worst case, I mean, you could pre-position this thing somewhere, even in your bug-out location, and have it ready so that you could use it whenever you need to use it. If people have two bug-out locations, one is none, two is one. Always with water, I would always have backup. Always have backup because it's the one element that if you don't have for 3 or 4 days, your next quadrillion years going to be playing harp, you're going to die. So you really need to think of that. Water is everything. And as we see water being polluted, fracking is polluting water. I mean, there's so many things attacking our water source. We're selling it off. I just read the story the other day that the government of California pumped 1 trillion gallons of fresh water into the ocean. Land is going dry. 1 trillion gallons. And it's like it's insanity taking over. But again, it goes back to that force counterforce. Once people realize that these things are not going to be normal, we love that word, normal. Once normal is no longer there, even the hired contractors are not going to show up because they're going to be staying home protecting their wives, their family, their food. And so, the day before it happens, we won't know. We'll think everything is normal. The day that it happens, just look what happened in Katrina. And that's the closest we've come in our history, in our living memory, of where a society lost counterforce. Even the police were looting. I mean, just everybody just did their own thing. And it took a hired agency of mercenaries to go down there and restore order. So think of that for a minute. The other thing I want to encourage people tonight is if you do have a group, we always use things, we always hear how people profile us and this and all these other things, they data mine and all that. I would say it's time that if you have a good group of people, I'm going to call this, you put an intelligence guy in charge. You get the guy who loves to read the news. That would be you, Dave. So we're going to put you in charge of our group of being the intelligence officer. And it's your job. 80% of all intelligence that Russia, China, India, U.S. gathers is open source intelligence. You can go online and find it. 80%. 20% is either human intelligence, those are the people that Hillary compromised when she, did her email server, so she compromised all those people. Or they might have satellite, which we don't really have a lot of hope doing, but we can access some satellite technology. I mean, you can look at your house on satellite and realize, wow. There's nothing to say that, you can't use social media. I mean, let's just say there was a bad religious group in town. A particular religion like killing people, or a particular group of individuals. There's nothing keeps you from going on their Facebook page and reading when they're going to have their meetings and act accordingly. You might not want to go downtown the day they're having their big whatever. You can start developing your own intelligence and having it, and disperse that intelligence among your friends and using the social media. I mean, those guys do. They go on social media and use it. They mine data. I mean, who does Google work for? Who does Facebook work for? Why don't play that game too? Does that make sense to you?
That makes perfect sense to me. And you're absolutely right about most things being available online. People will say to me constantly, well, how do you get the information about this FEMA camp or what Obama's going to do with the food? And I'll say, whitehouse.gov, executive
orders.
Whitehouse.gov.
What was the one that showed the depopulation of America? What was that website? There's global Deagle, security.
Deagle, it's Deagle.com.
Deagle.com. I mean, these are open source intelligence things that you can just go. And, not all of us have that knack to want to go and dig that, mine that data. But I bet you have a friend that does. I mean, you know, like I said, we've elected you, Dave, okay? Because you like doing it.
And, I'll be
and
that
I kind of like doing it. I like kind of like doing it, too. But if you have a person in your group that does that, put them in charge and develop, like, even maybe a weekly, biweekly, monthly briefing where you can say, do you guys realize this? Have the email addresses. You can actually do this. Now, don't think it's secure. It's secure for most people, but it's not going to be secure from the people, you know, in the government. You can all have an email address and just post the messages in the draft, but don't ever send them. All of you have the access to the email address. All of you have access to the password. So you can all go into the email and read the draft. Don't ever send it across the line. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, just keep it in the draft section. Don't ever send it. And that way everybody can look at the...
Unless you want to draw attention to yourself, which you don't want to do. When you're in those situations, would you agree with this statement? You want all eyes to just roll right over you.
It's called the gray man. Absolutely. You know, I was reading tonight, and you know, with all this goes on, I was actually praying before we started this thing today, and I always think of that prayer by St. Francis of Assisi. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Let me, where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, that I may not be so much as comforted as to comfort, and to understand as to be understood, you know, to love rather than to be loved. You know, we want our lives to really reflect, not that we're, you know, some type of, you know, quasi-military thing. We don't want that. We want to be the guy who doesn't look that way, because we're not that way. We're smart. We're wise. Jesus said, you know, be gentle as doves, but wise as serpents. We want to be that. So we don't want to be the radical person, because radicalism just serves the further goal of anarchy, and that's what we're heading towards. We want to be the guy who is, you know, wise, prepared. We're there to help our neighbor if need be. That's what I said. You know, think about that. 60 gallons a minute. You could make a lot of friends real quick if there was no water. You could earn a lot of respect real quick if there was no water. If I can bring your jug over here, I'll fill it up for you. No problem. No problem. You don't need to pay me. No problem. Thank you. You know? You know, we want to be that guy. We want to be the guy that looks good, that doesn't create a We don't want the big target on our back, in other words. So just, you know, go about your business. But I would say this, go about your business knowing, and I'll say this, Dave, you know, I would say with mathematical certainty, nations that do what we do, God brings horrific judgment on them. And as someone once said before, I fear, from when Jefferson said this, I fear for my nation when I know that God is just. And what did Billy Graham say one time? If God does not judge us, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's coming, folks. It's coming. It's coming like a freight train. I would challenge any of you, anyone listening right now, do you really think, can you not see the unraveling of our society? I was just watching today a bunch of hoodlums that were arrested and for stealing cars, and they were teenagers, and they went into court, and they had no respect whatsoever. They were shouting at the judge, profanity, just a whole group of them were just screaming. It's just a society that has lost all mooring, all moral foundation. There is no moral foundation anymore. The moral foundation is, I can be whatever I want to be. If I want to be a girl today and a boy tomorrow, or, you know, if I want to be, I mean, you can see it today, I can be black, too, if I want to be, because there's white people that say they're black people, and there's black people that say that, and we can be whatever we want to be. Every man does what's right in his own eyes. If you don't understand that this is the moral unwinding of our nation, that we really have lost the glue, the nucleus that has held us together as a nation, as a people, it's all being destroyed right before our eyes, and on purpose. So get ready. Make sure you have enough food. And the other thing I wanted to mention, Dave, we do have our Mountain House food on sale. But for people who listen to the Common Sense Show, for every $500 they buy, which is already 25 to 40% off, we're going to throw in six Mountain House pouches. And, you know, that's like $35, $40, depends on which one that you get. And those are great just to throw in your car and your bug-out bag. Freeze-dried, just tear it open, add hot water, and you got a good meal. So I meant to tell everybody that. So anybody orders that, we're going to $500, we're going to throw you in a free case of six pouches. Of Mountain House. So make sure you have your food. And again, Dave, I say this There's a lot of good people out there that sell food. You know, if you feel comfortable buying it from a guy, buy from whoever you feel comfortable with. And it doesn't all have to be just storage food. I've gone to Walmart, and I've bought cans of chicken. You know, just they have them on sale, $2.38 or so a can. And I've just gone down and buy a case. And because I can add that chicken to anything. You can add chicken to macaroni. I can add chicken to beef stew. I can add chicken to, you know, lasagna. I mean, you could add it to anything and just expand that meal. So it doesn't all have to be, you know, what you would consider freeze-dried food. There's other things that you can buy and put in there, comfort foods. You know, I tell people to, I really stress the sprouting seeds because, you know, you can with sprouts, you can grow fresh green things every 3 days. You know, 5-10 pounds of sprouting seeds will last you a very, very long time. And even if you live in North Dakota in the winter in the middle of a snowstorm, you can grow those sprouts. And they turn into fresh, living, green things that you can eat. So, you know, think about what you'll need. And again, think of that analogy. Go online, look it up. A gallon of gasoline has 31,000 calories. What do you use gasoline for now that you would not be able to use gasoline for if and when the supply of it is interrupted? And all of a sudden, what that engine did in transferring that energy into, you know, labor, you had to do by eating food and then turning it into labor. Do you have enough food to do that? Why I say this is my wife and I do 18th century reenacting in Fort Loudoun, Tennessee, and we go there and you realize all of a sudden what 18th century living was like. There was no romantic view of it, Dave. It was hard, brutal living. And so just think about what you're going to need and act accordingly.
Do you have a easy reference guide for a lot of the things you're talking about in order of how you should prepare? First get this, then get this, and these are what you should do with these things?
I'm actually in the process. My wife has told me to do it for years and years and years. I'm actually in the process of putting these things down into a booklet form and doing it, of talking about, you know, during the show this weekend, I was talking about communication and how to keep your communication, you know, that you can, you know, there's all kinds of rules. We've talked about them on the show. You have your offset codes for your time, your place, your date. You know, I'm starting to put that into a booklet form that people can look at, because I really don't know too many people who put a book together like that. There's a lot of duplicate stuff that's just common sense knowledge, but really thinking through you know, issues and what it will take. I mean, you know, I'm up in my tower right now. I have a full, you know, HF radio receiver here in front of me, my local transceivers. I can communicate with quite a few people. And the nice thing about it is that if the grid went down, if the cell phone service was turned off or the internet was turned off, I can still talk to quite a few people. And, you know, communication is everything. It's so important. I mean, again, I've used the analogy in this program, Dave, just to remind people. Just imagine if you were at 9/11 and, you know, you went to work and your wife's at home and all of a sudden she sees that building fall down and you have already had a preset arrangement of how you're going to communicate should that happen. You know, you're not going to be able to use the telephones. They're going to be jammed. The internet's going to probably not work. But all you got to do is, if you had a little portable antenna and a radio, and she had the same thing, you could probably hit a repeater somewhere and call home and say, "Honey, I'm okay." You know, what a blessing that would be. What a relief that would be. And it's totally possible to do it. It doesn't take I think I've mentioned this before. My son was 12 years old when he got his ham radio license. He didn't know anything about ham radio. He just went and applied himself, read the questions, because it's a multiple guess question. So he read all the questions and memorized a good portion of the answers and went there and took the test and passed. Second time, but, you know, he passed it. So he's an amateur radio operator. He can get on there and use it. And so he has a lot of fun doing it, but it also serves a lot of valuable purposes. He's also went on to he's also now a weather watcher, a weather spotter, so he can actually call into NOAA and say, "Listen, I see a wall cloud coming," and that wall cloud's indicative of a tornado. So he can do that. These are things we can do now. We will not be afforded the luxury of it afterwards. You know, this is kind of a funny picture in your mind, if you can just turn your mind's eye on for a second, Dave. In construction, I remember we used to say, "That guy is working like he has one foot nailed to the floor, running as fast as he can." Now, can you picture that?
Yeah.
You're just running in circles. You're just running in circles really fast. And when a crisis happens, you're going to see a lot of people like that, going panic mode, running as fast as they can, but all they're doing is going in circles. And they're not going to get anything done. My encouragement today is God has given us his time. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. And he always warns his people ahead of what he's doing. And the voices that you have on this program and other programs, Steve, you've had Pastor Langford on. You know, you've had these people on, and they're warning, saying, it's coming, folks. It's coming. It's coming. And only a fool, you know, sees the train coming and says, well, I'm going to stay on the tracks. It's not supposed to be here at this time. It's supposed to be here 2 hours from now.
You know, I'm going to give another warning that's out there now to a new voice to the catastrophe. He's been talking about collapse of the dollar, but not collapse of everything. And that's Harry Dent, well-respected economist. He said we're going to hit 17,000 on the market, and then the error is going to come out almost overnight, and we're going to go down to 6,000. And he said that's when things won't move. And Bob, we're already seeing that with the Baltic Dry Index. There was a time 2 weeks ago that there was nothing commercial on the oceans transporting. Nothing. That's never happened before.
Yeah, I was just reading it this weekend that China, their major seaports in China are just closing down. They're shutting down. They have nothing to ship. And yet, because we have this normalcy bias, Dave, it's a damnable thing that we have this normalcy bias. We think the football game is still on, the beer is still in the refrigerator, everything is normal. It's not normal. Open your eyes. Start to develop, like I said, if you have anybody who's been in an intelligence area, start to get key with them, saying, you know, how do I start looking for things that normal people don't see? I've told you about watching the movie before, how you don't watch the two guys in the middle beating each other up or the guy and the girl kissing, you know, in the middle of the movie. You don't watch that because that's what the movie wants you to see. Watch the background. Watch the colors, the cars, the shadows. Start developing that mindset. Start looking for things that normal people are not going to see, because we were at the grocery store the other night and went, honey, come here, look at this. I want you to see this. See all the blanks on the shelves? She goes, I never noticed that. I see it. It's there staring me right in the face, but I didn't even think about it. I said, look at it. Next time when you come back, see if it's there again. I guarantee you it will be. I've been noticing now, I told her I've been noticing for several months, that these holes in the shelves are there. And I went to a home building center, and I started noticing, gosh, I used to be able to pick up, because whatever I built, I put in conduit, and I used the gray conduit, and I was noticing, gosh, they don't have near the supply of this they used to have. It's not here. And so I started noticing holes in things, and I'm thinking, hey, gosh, this is not a good sign. And it's just not groceries. It's, you know, construction parts and who heaven knows what else. So, folks, it's not normal. Normal is gone. And we are facing a catastrophe. Who would have thought normal would be? I could go in. I mean, Dave, I mean, I can go into a girl's bathroom. I can be trans for the day. I see a pretty girl going in the bathroom. I'd be trans for 10 minutes. You know, I want to go in the bathroom because I'm transgendered for the next 10 minutes. What insanity. What insanity. What open for abuse that a society would even think that that's normal, and then they start boycotting you, boycott a whole state because, you know, hey, I don't want my wife being in the bathroom with some perv going in there. I mean, that's the new normal. If you want to hold to the moral part of it, that, hey, you know, look at the plumbing, go to that bathroom, then you're a homophobe, a bigot, or whatever else. I mean, our society has gone insane.
I wrote an article about this yesterday up on the Common Sense Show, and I said, is it normal to be a pervert? And as I was writing this, I have to tell you, I was going through my own level of cognitive dissonance right then. I'm understanding the topic intellectually, but emotionally, I just could not believe this was actually happening. And now I've got to look at some of these major department stores that are doing this, because I got to cross them off my list. I can't be going in there and supporting them when they're doing this.
Precisely, but the thing, Dave, is it's a spiritual darkness. You know, last year, a couple years ago, it was homosexual marriage. Now we've, okay, well, that's long land. We've grown accustomed to it. We're going to grow accustomed to this, not you and I, but society. Okay, that's just the way it is. And then when they introduce, you know, I can marry my dog, that will all be in an uproar over that, but that'll go away. And because depravity knows no bottom. And before we know it, we're going to be the most vilest things that society has ever known. It's going to be perpetrated as normal. And if you don't go along with it, you're going to be persecuted. You know, I'd love to do a show on, you know, what we're going to be faced. You know, all around the world, wherever you see these Christian enclaves, say in Muslim lands, they have a Christian, I don't want to call it a militia, because I think the militia movement in the United States is largely defunct, and really they don't plan really well. You know, and they're highly infiltrated. But we, you know, there's going to come a time when Christians, Christian people, not, you know, some kind of whack jobs, Christian people are going to have to say, listen, we need to protect our families. Look, you remember the rumors that came out of Katrina at the Superdome that they had to actually guard women going to the bathroom, guard women that were leaving groups because they were just gang raping them? You know, that's what we're going to face. And I'd love to do a program on that with you, of just, you know, what some of the things we can do to set up security for our families. And again, we will never go on the offense. This is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about becoming some, you know, reconquer the United States through the force of arms. The only way we're going to reconquer the United States is with the force of prayer, if it is even possible, you know, for us to break our hearts and rent them before God. And it's not those people. It's not the perverts. It's the church. And, you know, Dave, you and I agree totally. The church is like, hey, let's go along with it. Most of them are. Or at least I won't say anything.
It's so compromised, it's unbelievable. I'm preparing.
Yeah. Their silence is consent. The church's silence is their consent.
There's more than silence going on. When you look at the Pope, he's actively advocating for many of these perversions.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you read the story where he brought the 12 Muslims back to the Vatican. What symbolism in that? You know, not 12 persecuted Christians. And even though I know it's not coming, the Tower of Babel, they've postponed it, I think. I think it's coming, but I think they've just postponed it. Why didn't they bring some of the imagery of the devastated 1,000-year-old church buildings where ISIS had gone in and just ravaged not only the people, but the building that had stood there for 1,000 years, you know, why did they go put that up? Why did they have to bring some child-sacrificing, demon-possessed religion, you know, that, I mean, think of it. They had an option. They could have set up a monument to the Christians who have died for their faith and put up a replica of some, you know, cathedral that had been torn down by ISIS. No, they didn't choose that, did they? They chose the baby murdering religion. They wanted to honor that and celebrate that. So, folks, if you see a nation that can do that, folks, I'm telling you, it's end game. It is end game. So that's
almost what you're describing is almost a Mad Max free for all scenario. Do you think it's going to degenerate to that level before?
I think you're going to have enclaves of it. Yes, I do. Just like, you know, Katrina, there'll be people. I mean, you have people out in the Midwest. You have smaller communities that will try to band together. There will always be those people in those communities that will be the derelicts, and they will have to deal with people that might come from other places to take advantage of them. So that's something they'll have to do. But there'll be good people. But the vast majority of people will either remain silent, just as they did in Nazi Germany, while, you know, untold millions of people were being put to death. And same with the church. I mean, there's very few of the clergy that stood up in Nazi Germany and said, this is wrong. Folks, this is wrong. You can't do this. Guy's a madman. You can't do this. Nobody said anything. They went along to get along. And so I think you're going to see urban centers, big population centers, where the breakdown is going to be the most severe, and I think it'll be catastrophic. I don't know if our country will survive it. In fact, I don't think the United States, as we've known it when we grew up, has survived. We're serving in some, I don't know, you know, it's the cadaver of the United States with some remnant of remembrance of what it used to be, but it's quickly swirling down into this pollution of depravity.
No, this is nothing like what I grew up in. It's not even close. Are you familiar with the movie The Postman with Kevin Costner? Came out maybe over 15 years ago. That's how I envision, if we have an economic collapse or triggered by false flag or an EMP, that's how I look at how society is going to be for quite some time.
It will not recover quickly. It could take generations for it to recover. Because not only will when it breaks down, but then people will start to burn the infrastructure. You see it in these things. I mean, they have nothing about burning the cars, burning the buildings, burning the power plants, burning whatever they can burn down. There'll be people that are not satisfied with just doing that. They'll just want to destroy because their father is the destroyer. And so they'll go out and destroy infrastructure that cannot easily be replaced. So once that infrastructure is destroyed, that's the very infrastructure you would need to rebuild infrastructure. But that infrastructure is gone, so the primary infrastructure is gone. The things, you know, the gears are gone, put it that way. So you don't, it's not that the motor's gone, the gears are gone, and you need the gears to make a motor, and you need a motor to run the gears. That's gone. So it will be a situation like that, and again, I just say God is merciful. We have this window. I don't know. If I was putting in an analogy, I would say the animals are showing up at the ark. I can see the end of them coming on board. I don't know the exact day, but I can see the end of the line. That's what I put it.
I would agree.
If I can see the end of the line, I can figure it's going to be pretty close.
Bob, I got to interrupt you real quick before we run out of time. You mentioned gear, and I want to talk to people about how they can get your gear, your water system, your food supply, and so forth. Your website is readymaderesources.com. Tell people specifically what they can do and what you're offering. You got about a minute and a half.
Okay. Well, I told them the Trekker water filter. If you mention it tonight, it's a moderately priced thing. I'll tell people up front it's $1,165, $1,195 for it. But if you look at it, I think you're going to get every nickel worth of it. But if you do buy it tonight, it does come with free shipping, and I'm going to throw in the two extra, the particulate filter and the extra carbon filter. You'll get that free. So if you buy it tonight, you don't even have to mention anything. I'll see it come through, and I'll throw those in the box, and we ship it out to you. So you can get that, and again, look at it and see it's an amazing piece of device. I immediately bought one for my family and group of friends so that we would have that to take care of business and provide water for our family. And again, I said also that with the Mountain House food, anybody who buys it, it's already on sale, 25 to 40% off, but for every $500 people will buy, we're going to throw in $35, $40, six pouches that you can put in your car anywhere. We'll throw that in on top of it. So those are the two big things. Dave, we have like 5,000 products on our website. We have Hazarid just came out. That's a decontamination agent. We see all this bacteria breaking out. They marked down their unit $100, so it's 30% off. During the last crisis with Ebola, people, you could not even get those things. They were out for months. So right now, no perceived crisis. You can buy a unit, a Hazarid unit. It's $100 off. I mean, again, you know, what's the bag of beans worth today? What's the bag of beans worth after the floodwaters start rising?
Exactly.
It's all an economy of value and perceived value, what people put on it. If you have this $1,000 water filter now, if you have it post-collapse and you can go down to the pond and start pumping your neighbors and friends and group pure, clean drinking water so they don't get Giardia or Cryptosporidium or some other chemical poisoning. If you can do that, boy, what's that water filter worth then? It's priceless. It's absolutely priceless. So,
and then you got to find a way to protect it, but that's another show for another night.
Yes. And I'd love to do that one night, just do a show on, you know, a Christian group of people who realize that we're not out to conquer the world. We don't want to be violent. We want to pray that prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, but at the same time, I don't want somebody stealing the provisions I have or abusing my wife and child. And there's groups all around the world where Christians do face that, and they do have to form these groups of one level or another where we watch out for one another. So.
And people say, Dave, why do you keep repetitively doing shows like this every 3 or 4 months? And let me tell you why. It's coming. We can't turn this around. If you just look at the economic numbers, the dollar is going to collapse. We have a $1.5 quadrillion credit swap derivatives debt. We couldn't pay that off in the 500th century. So it's coming. We just don't know the hour of the day. And those that are prepared have a better chance of getting through. God help those in urban areas. I mean, that's one of the things I would say. Well, Bob, we're just about out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us, and I look forward to having you back. His website is readymaderesources.com, and he's got great specials there for Common Sense Show listeners. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Dave, let me say one more thing. I'll be in my office for the next hour. If anybody wants to call, ask me any questions, I'll be here for the next hour. So I welcome their call.
Very good. We'll see everybody else in hour number two with Dr. Ted Brewer.